Jared Dudley, that Elmer Fudd looking motherfucker.
Jared Dudley looks like a disabled turtle who lacks self-confidence because the other turtles all made fun of his little turtle fin injury.
Rumor has it, if you change your computer password to Jared Dudley, it will get rejected for being too weak.
Jared Dudley looks like my pinky toe after a week of wearing shoes that are two sizes too small.
Jared Dudley looks like a fucking Ninja Turtle that got skin cancer.
Jared Dudley looks like a cartoon potato in a children's show that explains the Bible.
Jared Dudley would not only get his ass kicked by Glass Joe, but he would get fisted out of the Mike Tyson punch out and entire NES entertainment system as well.
Jared Dudley looks like he should be dancing outside a bus trying to get me to go to Six Flags.
Jared Dudley molests collies.
Jared Dudley looks like the oblong growth on the side of a woman's ass who got a Brazilian butt lift that went horribly wrong.
Jared Dudley did 9/11. Cue it! First time, long time, episode number 8. Welcome back, good sir, ladies. However you like to be identified. We got myself, Smitty, the glorious Roan, John Kelly producing in the studio right now, or back in the chicks in the office. Back room.
We're just in a box, pretty much. We're just in a cardboard box with some sound protection, some sound design padding. But we're making it work. It doesn't matter. You could throw us in a fucking meat freezer, and we would be out here grinding, fucking beating our meat like Rocky, brother. That came out wrong.
Yeah, well, it came out right. It almost came out too right.
Exactly.
But the Rebel Podcast is back. Still not picked up by Barstool Sports. Probably never will be. I don't give a fuck anymore.
Fine.
And you shouldn't either. First topic. Long topic. We'll hang up and listen. Sixers in 5. Who called it, Roan?
Wow, you hit the nail on the fucking head, Smitty. From the jump, you've been the Sixers whisperer the entire year. If people aren't paying attention, they should start paying attention. They should start bending the knee, genuflecting, because for whatever reason, Smitty has next week's newspaper about whatever's going on with the Eagles. He's getting everything right. He hasn't missed. It's time to start giving the man his due.
I don't want any due. I just want continued excellence.
I'm giving you due.
I want continued excellence from our team in the playoffs.
You're going to take the due.
First of all, quick note on Jared Dudley. He's a bum. He's our bum of the week. We're not saying he did lie in 9/11. Obviously, we were kind of being facetious about that a little bit.
He was merely an accessory.
Yes, hopefully he wasn't involved that much. But one thing that's nice about Jared Dudley getting put in his place was he didn't really have anywhere he was living in the first place. So usually these villains that come out against Philly, they have a chance to retaliate. The T.O.'s, the Sidney Crosbys. They're superstars who might get the one-up on you. Right. Jared Dudley was a bum coming in,
right,
and he's a bum going out.
He's a hermit crab without a shell. That man is a nobody, and he's just scuttling from team to team, and he was only being an instigator for the Nets because he was desperate for some type of relevancy. He couldn't affect the game like a big game player, like a T.O. or a Sidney Crosby could affect the game, so he had to try and muck it up. But guess what? Our fucking superstars can muck it up better than your fucking scrubs at the bottom of the fucking bench. I loved how Philadelphia responded to that. I loved how Jimmy Butler responded. I loved how the whole team came together, and they won that game because Jared Dudley is such a schmuck.
Sixers-Raptors. Quick predictions.
Okay, let's talk about it.
What do you want? What do you get? What do you desire? What do you know?
I'm telling them, this is going to be a tough series because the East is really good, and these last four teams in the East are good. That said, Sixers in 6. I'm just going to leave it right there, right off the fucking jump. The Sixers have the matchups that they need in this series. Nobody is big enough to fucking guard Embiid. Gasol is too fucking old. No one is big enough for Ben Simmons. The size is there. We have proven that we have a deep enough roster that the shooting will emerge when we need it to from one guy or another. And even if we have to go to Mike Scott on the bench or Bobby, whatever it has to be, we're going to make it happen.
It's going to be contingent on the first game for me. If they can win the first game, Sixers in 5. If they can't, Sixers in 6. The way these guys have played since the game 1 whooping at home against the Nets, they're unstoppable. They have been unstoppable, with the exception of slight discomfort of a game in Game 4. But that was it. They are unstoppable.
Well, that was the last gasp in Game 4. I'm pretty sure that that was all that the Nets had. And they kind of – we watched their soul escape through their mouth as they choked out that final breath when Mike Scott splashed one in the corner. It was absolutely beautiful. But that was their last chance, and that's the only reason that was a tough game. And the Sixers showed me what I needed to see at this point of the year is they're blowing teams out. You need to be blowing teams out right now to show that you're going to be able to compete at the next level. If you have tight games against the fucking Nets, then that's going to be a problem. I mean, we had a couple, we lost one, we had another tight one, but for the most part, our margin of victory was pretty respectable.
And the Nets didn't even show up for game five, which was lovely.
Yeah, no, it was great for us.
They didn't score a point halfway through the first quarter.
It shows that we can demoralize a team. And honestly, when I'm looking at the rosters, I don't know how long Kawhi Leonard is there. I don't know if he's there for the long haul, and I think that if you start to demoralize that team, that it could all fall apart pretty quickly. And that's really what I'm hoping.
You're not scared of Lowry returning home?
That's a factor. He's a factor for sure, but is he going to be your second best player? Because if he's your second best player, I'm excited. If Pascal Siakam has an awesome series, and if he's your second best player, then I think the Sixers have something to worry about, because that's an X-factor type of guy that's going to give everybody a problem. But if Kyle Lowry is like trying to make things happen as a playmaker and is your second best player, I think we'll be all right.
This is the first time the Sixers have faced the Raptors since 2001 in the playoffs.
That.
Game 7, Vince Carter scores something like 87, 88, 2 seconds left on the clock. Vinny gets the ball, goes out to the corner, pump fakes once, gets off a clean shot, and the Sixers advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. They were that close to not being anything that year, just being another footnote in history.
Which would have been devastating.
Kind of.
But honestly, I was but in Philadelphia lore, that's pretty much like that's as good as it's gotten in recent memory.
Iverson over Tyronn Lue doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, that was huge. But I want to go through some of the names that were on that Toronto Raptors roster, because we have some fucking gems in here. Is there any guys
just pulling that up?
Is there anybody that jumps off the page to start?
Well, Vince Carter was one.
Vince Carter, obviously.
I was actually looking for Alvin Williams.
Williams,
Villanova
Pride,
yeah,
baby.
Well, GA.
I was mistaken. I thought Tracy McGrady was on that team. He was not.
He was already out of there. He was already down in Orlando.
In and out.
Yeah. So Mo Pete was on that team.
Baby.
Hakeem
Olajuwon was on that team.
Still kicking.
How crazy is that? Fucking Hakeem Olajuwon was 17 years deep into his NBA career. But another storied veteran on that team, Del Curry.
Really?
So, yeah, the senior Curry was on that squad. That was a deep squad. And it's weird because Del Curry is the type of guy that would have maybe been more valuable in today's NBA than he was at that time.
That's interesting. I'm actually surprised that team took the Sixers to 7.
Yeah, I mean, Keon Clark at center. Michael Bradley out of Villanova.
Didn't we acquire him later?
He was
a Sixer.
He was a Sixer at one point. Maybe even like the second year. He was pretty quickly a Sixer because they had given up on it. Eric Montross is in this.
Eric Montross, also a Sixer at one point.
This is a deep roster of guys who
who are trailblazing through the league for a better part of two
when
decades.
When I look back, I try to remember, like, whether these players were good or, like, if they were all just washed up. Like, in retrospect, like, were these dudes actually good or was it just a team of, like, scrubs who cobbled something together? And I really can't tell. Like, in retrospect, it's, like, almost hard to be like, who was good at that time? Who was a scrub?
I think we forget just how good Vince Carter was.
Yeah, I remember him carrying them. He was the man.
And it was almost – that was a time in the NBA where it was like, we have our best player, you have your best player, and we're going to see who – let's fucking boogie. Let's see who's going to fucking put it down. And, I mean, Iverson obviously got the best of Vince Carter at that time, and hopefully we'll bring back that magic this year.
Sixers beat the Raptors in 7 in 2001, went on to beat the Bucks. Sixers were down 2-1 in the series against the Raptors.
Were they? I forgot about that.
And then, of course, in typical Philly lore, they go on to face one of the greatest NBA teams of all time. At least the greatest NBA playoff teams of all time.
You kind
of
said it, though.
Who only lost one game.
It was kind of like that, where it was your best player against our best player, and Shaq was just the difference maker in that series. They changed that rule the next year with the whole you couldn't back your head in the same way.
Well,
the,
what was lovely is we got
Mutombo
Shaq.
With the teeth that were getting knocked out of his mouth.
I forget which game it was, but I distinctly remember when we got Shaq to foul out.
Yes.
And then Larry
Brown. Game one, right?
No, it wasn't game one. It was like game three or four. And then Larry Brown decided to go small all of a sudden.
Yikes.
Just getting Mutombo out of there. Even put Matt Geiger in there, trying to bump some heads. Nope, just went small. Rajah Bell was running the court.
It was almost like they knew, though, when they – I mean, they got Mutombo as, like, that was our late-season pickup to be like, this guy's going to take us deep into the playoffs and to the finals maybe. And it's almost like they knew they were going to go against Shaq or something.
Okay, here's a question. If Theo Ratliff doesn't break his thumb right there prior to Wyoming, do the Sixers trade for Mutombo?
Dude, I think that...
Because they were hot.
They were hot, and Ratliff was having the fucking season of his life at that time. But I think that even as... Ratliff was smaller than Mutombo, Mutombo still got fucking dominated by Shaq. Like, Ratliff isn't, like, he just wasn't stout enough. You know, I don't know who's beating Shaq at that time. Like, there's...
Nobody.
Yeah.
God's
honestly,
not beating
honestly,
Shaq.
Yeah, there was nobody. Maybe present-day Joel Embiid.
The only thing that's beating Shaq is Shaq Fu.
Yeah, that really... It could be.
Or Kazam.
Yeah, the kid from Kazam.
Yeah.
I think that my hope right now with the Sixers is that Joel Embiid does... transfer into that kind of Shaq energy from that era, and the fact that he's the best big man left in the playoffs right now, and it's pretty clear. And so if we use that size to our advantage and just try to bully the fuck out of everyone, and he takes over with size on his side, that's really like my prayer for
especially
him.
Especially defensively.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and he has to stay out of the fucking foul trouble, honestly. Like, especially with the flagrants. He already has two bad flagrants. He's getting technicals in fucking the stupidest situations. Like, we need to clean that shit up.
I was going to ask you, though, how do you think he's done with the emotions so far? Because I have seen subtly a change from last year. I think he's tried to catch himself.
In which way?
I think when you see it start to boil over on the court, you can see him a little bit more aware.
Put it this way. This time
picture.
Last year when he got pushed by Jared Dudley and now he puts his hands up, I don't know if he does that this time last year.
Even his quote after the fact was like, I'm too important to my team. So that's something that he's cognizant of in the moment, which is something you want to see from your superstar. Like, I've loved what I've seen of Embiid this playoffs.
Believe it. He should be doubtful going into every game.
Yeah, I love it.
Really?
Yeah, let the other team worry about who the fuck's going to guard who.
If he is healthy and the Sixers play defense the way they did in Game 5 against the Nets, they can truly beat anybody.
Are you worried about Kawhi putting the clamps on Ben Simmons, though? Because he's done that this year. Ben Simmons has astronomical turnover numbers when getting guarded by Kawhi.
Next man up.
Yeah.
Next man up.
I think there's going to be a series.
Four passes before you shoot. Norman Dale it.
I think there's going to be a series where it's Jimmy Butler, too. I think we saw Simmons this time. I think if we even lose maybe a couple games to Toronto, we go back and forth a little bit, you're going to see Butler be the difference.
Yeah, I think that we have a deeper, like, harem of stars than they do. Like, we have more players that can turn it the fuck up. We have four, five players on our team who could drop 30 on them.
Yep.
They have three players that could drop 30 on us.
Oh, that's until Ibaka just comes out from the grave. And
I'm a little worried about that. I'm worried about Ibaka. I'm worried about Siakam. Gasol, I think, is old, but, I mean, I'm hoping he's not giving us problems. He did sometimes in Memphis. I don't know. It's going to be – I mean, this is a fantastic East right now. Like, they're showing me what I want to see right now, but I'm still a little bit worried.
I'm calling Boston Sixers Eastern Conference Finals, and I'm not looking ahead. But I'm still worried about Boston. Very worried about Boston.
Rightfully so.
Yes. On to the Phillies. Real quick. Touch base. They stink. Not
easy,
their fault. Not their fault, really. They're banged up a little bit. Dubel Herrera knocked up a little bit. They got a Malvern Prep kid freaking playing shortstop who's 30 years old, who I'm pretty sure I whiffed one by in the old Westchester Little League fields.
Did you?
Back in the day. Absolutely. That's
so
sweet. Took New York. As did everyone. But Juan's out. Kingery's out. Third string shortstop. Pitching's not all there. They're struggling. Harper's getting thrown out of games. Roman Quinn, who's supposed to be the speedy little shit who makes contact and plays a great center field, he's had 22 at-bats this year. 13 strikeouts, but that's the Phillies report. They stink.
What is Pivetta sent down already?
Yeah.
Are you worried at all about, Arrieta having words for Harper after?
No, I don't think he had words for Harper. He was being a competitor and absolutely realistic. All he said was he is, like the Embiid thing, he is way too valuable for the team. He is too good of a bat to be thrown out. He needs to be smarter in that situation.
Yeah, baseball is a weird thing, though, because of the nature of the season that, like, sometimes you need to do weird shit to get your team fired up. You know what I mean? I think it is early in the season for that. I think that's like maybe an August move if you're in like a long slump. But I think he's frustrated with how the start was, the honeymoon was fantastic. But I mean, it's the first week living at home and we're fucking realizing that there's fucking hair in the sink and everybody's got problems.
A lot of hair. Too much hair.
Right.
And in that situation, you let Gabe Kapler do your dirty business for you. That's where he goes out, threatens the ump. Bench presses a couple in the clubhouse while he gets thrown out.
Exactly.
Bryce Harper.
Fucking round of steroids in that
absolutely.
Ass.
Absolutely.
He was out there yelling Gabe.
Well,
when,
yeah, and he
Bryce
didn't get thrown
ejected.
Out either.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Only Bryce got thrown out. Bryce needs to be in that lineup. And if I was Arrieta, of course I'd be pissed. I'm pitching that day. I don't want fucking...
It did seem personal.
Nick Williams coming in or...
You don't need Kingery
freaking,
in the fucking three spot.
Well, Kingery's been having a good year so
yeah,
far,
but
yeah.
You know, like,
no, but you need Bryce Harper.
No, Kingery's hitting 406 right now. For
you need
Kingery,
Bryce
so
Harper.
Pretty...
Before we get into Eagles draft, real quick about our good old friend Don McNabb making comments about Carson Wentz.
Oh, you're moving this up. I like it.
Yeah.
We need to talk about it because, honestly, it seemed like you were about to say that you're on Donovan McNabb's
side.
Nope,
I'm not on his side. I said I feel bad for Donovan McNabb.
Why the fuck would you feel bad for a fucking blithering old
fool sympathetic to this.
That can't stop fucking sticking his own foot in his mouth? It's almost like he likes the taste.
Hey.
It's almost like he thinks he's going to get paid the more his fucking foot is in his mouth.
But that's the only reason this got blown up. It's not what he said. It's because it's Donovan McNabb. Jeremiah Trotter or Ike Reese says something like this exactly. He didn't say Carson Wentz is a bum. He didn't say Carson Wentz needs to be run out of town. He said in 2 or 3 years, if Carson Wentz doesn't reach an NFC championship game, they should maybe look somewhere else, which I disagree with. I disagree. He's your quarterback for the future, whether they don't make the playoffs for the next 3 years.
Dude, but what the fuck are we talking about in 2 or 3 years? In 2 or 3 years, if my fucking uncle chops off his dick, he'll be my aunt in 2 or 3 years. It doesn't fucking matter in 2 or 3 years.
Could happen.
Since when in sports do we start prognosticating about what's happening in 2 or 3 years? But let's see what's going to happen.
Adam, you are getting angry because McNabb said it. That's the only reason. You're thinking of him guitaring out there, doing the thriller, being a freak. Cornball. Like, that's the only reason people are pissed. And all I'm saying is I kind of feel bad for him. He is socially inept. He needs to be locked away, just eating chunky soup with Wilma, and be out of the spotlight, hopefully not getting any more DUIs.
But, dude, there's no one coming to his house with a spotlight and fucking disturbing his slumber. No one's, like, voicing the spotlight on him while he's walking down the street trying to live his private life, walking his fucking, like, schnauzer. He's begging for this. He's bringing it all on himself. Hasn't he fucking forced the city of Philadelphia to suffer enough? Bro, can't he just leave us the fuck alone,
bro? He's the all-time leading passer in Eagles history. He deserves some sort of respect.
But not his opinion.
Played on 3 quarters with a broken ankle.
Not
through 4 touchdowns against Arizona.
Though. His opinion of our current roster composition doesn't, because at the end of the day, if you boil it down, what this is all about for McNabb is he's scared that he's going to be forgotten. He's scared that Donovan McNabb is going to fall to second place, maybe even third place, because Nick Foles might be ahead of him as far as the most beloved quarterbacks.
Oh, I think Jaws is ahead of him. Norv Van Brocklin's ahead of him in beloved quarterbacks.
And so even as we talk about him, he's stumbling down the fucking list. And I think he's scared of that. He's terrified of that. And instead of treating it like a rational human being and trying being a better community member or embracing how beloved he could be with the fan base, he's lashing out against current players, showing what a fucking terrible teammate he was.
I wouldn't call it a lash out. I wouldn't call it a lash out. He's just speaking his opinion, which wasn't even
but couldn't
that
you say that about any
take.
Player at
you
any
could,
sport?
Exactly. That's the point. It wasn't even that fucking hot of a take. People are just pissed McNabb because it's time that McNabb's saying anything. He needs to go away.
But if anybody's not performing in 2 or 3 years, shouldn't they be out of their job? Who has earned to have like two has earned like
Carson Wentz
3 years of
Carson
a leash?
If they don't make the playoffs in 2 or 3 years, I think Carson Wentz should still be the quarterback
for the next 3 years. If Carson Wentz doesn't make the playoffs, he should year four he should be this quarterback.
Well, it depends how.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Like
if
that,
if he gets hurt, I'm thinking injury.
I think if he doesn't make the playoffs the next 3 years, I'm willing to look other places.
Yeah. Well,
okay. Well, then you're just saying playoffs.
I think the reason he'd be out though is because we do have a good team in place. It's not like we're building. You know what I mean? We're a win now team. So I think you got to take that into account. I think if 2 or 3 years missing the playoffs, yeah, that'd be hard. We'd be bad. That'd be pretty bad.
Yeah.
So
okay, let me revise my statement. 2 to 3 years not making the NFC Championship game would be a very, very big disappointment. Very, very big.
Yeah, I mean, that's different. That's a different statement.
Well, either way, Carson Wentz is going to be Eagle for a long time. Yeah. I think that we just have to be honest with ourselves.
Well,
like,
when do we have to sign him? We have to sign him next year, right? We have
he's going to get a lot
we
got to
get. We have to see kind of the first six games, see how we're going.
Now McNabb has me confused in my own head, which I don't like.
Well, this is your typical Philly versus the McNabb.
All I said was I feel bad for McNabb. I don't agree with him. In any sense of the word.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think that he should be, like, I don't know. I don't think he should be sticking his nose in there. I'm tired of it. I've grown
Carson Wentz is the future of our franchise.
Yeah,
that's
a fact.
Like,
we're
said.
All on the same page of that, and I feel like he's trying to, like, throw a fucking wrench in my bicycle spokes, bro. Like, he's trying to flip my goddamn bicycle. I'm just trying to have a leisurely ride with fucking Carson Wentz going forward. I want to have a good relationship with my quarterback, and I don't want dudes like him fucking introducing seeds of doubt into my mind.
Reminds me of Dave Portnoy.
Yeah, probably just saw you trying to bike a 5 yard out. Threw it at your spokes.
Yeah, right, bro.
It's okay.
A little
okay.
Turf monster.
On to the draft. 25th pick overall. Got 2 second-rounders, 2 fourth, 1/5, and 1/6. Last week, you were all about the D linemen.
Yeah,
that
dude.
Was Roan's take. Do you still agree with that?
No, I've evolved. It's happening so fast, dude.
Went down the rabbit hole of draft videos today, didn't you?
I caught you. No, you walked up on me when I was I was looking at slot receivers because of the report that Aguilar might get traded. That we're considering trading Aguilar,
which I don't hate.
I don't hate it at all.
Can get value,
but even. If we trade Aguilar, we definitely need a receiver quickly. Even if we don't, we still kind of need a receiver quickly. Like, has Alshon proven that he's going to stay healthy for an entire season? Is Deshaun reliable?
Nope.
Like, are we looking at Mac Brown or fucking Nelson Aguilar? Like, they're going to be a long-term goal? I think we need young weapons, and for that reason, I have an eye towards receiver.
I don't necessarily hate the receiver option, but that's if we do something with Aguilar. I still think we could use depth at the O-line. We need a linebacker.
Yeah.
Who the fuck's going to play middle linebacker?
No, that's
we need a linebacker.
I think we trade for a linebacker.
You could find them a little later. You could find them with the June cuts too. I think you find a vet.
I know. I just
you
want,
don't
want. I just want.
That. I know.
Yeah,
you're saying
I want
way.
Production there, and I know you can put Bradham at middle linebacker, and he could be very serviceable there, even though his natural position is outside linebacker. But I still want
a young guy,
a linebacker,
yeah.
Somebody like a Jordan Hicks, like a Jeremiah Trotter, like a LaVon Kirkland. I mean, even Mark Cimino fucking there was serviceable for a little bit.
Don't say things. No, you hated Mark Cimino just like everyone else. Of course, bro, there's nothing
kicker.
To like. So we have 3 picks in the first 2 rounds, barring trades. I'm sure Howie's going to be wheeling and dealing.
Joe Douglas, too.
Joe Douglas is going to be in the mix for sure. The utmost respect to Joe Douglas. What 3 positions do you think that the Eagles need to address, and which one would you be disappointed if they didn't draft in the first 3 rounds?
Well, first of all, they can draft literally anybody, and as long as Joe Douglas has his fingertips on the fucking computer while they're doing it, I'm 100% fine. I'm a blind, loyal follower of Joe Douglas, and at this point, Howie Roseman. They both deserve all the credit going forward, and I will trust anything they do. But first round, I think, honestly, I don't really care about the position. I think they need to draft the best available player, the best one, because they're not completely hurting at any one position to really fill the need that much. If they can get considerable value at any position,
so
other than quarterback or tight end,
tight
end.
What about corner? Would you draft a corner?
I would draft
a
corner if it's that good.
Really?
I mean, the freaking Nasir Adderley out of Delaware. He's supposed to be a freaking stud coming out. First of all, I don't know how all these studs are coming out of Great Valley High School all of a sudden. I fucking leave. We don't see a D1 product for like 10 years while I'm there trying to carry the load. They got nothing. All of a sudden, Mikal Bridges, Nasir Adderley, they're all coming back to back.
That's bullshit.
It's absolute bullshit. It's the coaching. I don't know where it's coming.
Because the water's obviously good out there. There's good stock.
Dude,
good people.
Even Stoga, they got Mark Hareslick. They got freaking Marquise Wheats coming out of there.
If you were born in a different era, you'd be in the fucking league right now, Smitty.
If I went the prep school route, Malvern Prep's proven recruits left and right. Your boys at the prep. Who's the most famous person ever come out of the prep?
Rich Gannon, probably.
Rich Gannon. Football athlete, yeah. Who's the most famous person ever?
Wait, why would he? Just because of the MVP?
Yeah. What other athletes? I guess there are that many great athletes.
Well, the guy from Georgia now.
DeAndre Swift.
DeAndre Swift will be.
Yeah, he'll probably wind up being
Was there another big star coming out of the prep?
Victor Hobson.
Marvin Harrison was a Roman Catholic.
He's a Roman dude, yeah, for sure.
I'm talking public schools outside of Philly, especially like middle class, like Great Valley, no athletes forever. And all of a sudden they're getting first round fucking draft picks in the NBA. And
What was the question?
So what
three positions? What are your three most coveted positions? Obviously, best player available no matter what. So which say all things are equal, they have their best player on the board.
Linebacker, O-line, running back.
Okay, wow. I'm going to say D-line, O-line, wide receiver. I want a wide receiver badly, and I got my eyes on Marquise Brown from Oklahoma, Hollywood Brown. This dude's like DeSean Jackson. He's in the mold of like a Brandon Cooks, or at least where he's a smaller guy. He doesn't have a ton of muscle, but he's going to find soft spots, and he's going to take the top off of defenses. I don't think you'll even have to trade up to get Marquise Brown, but I almost feel like they're going to trade up or down with their pick. I feel like there's less of a chance that they stay put than a chance that they trade their pick. I feel like it's just going to happen. I feel like it's unavoidable.
Yeah. Yeah, they like to make moves. Like to make a lot of moves, which takes us to previous draft history. We're going to go in the past 3 years, post-Chip Kelly era. First year, Howie Roseman is alone. Now, if you recall, the first year Howie Roseman had control of the draft was with Andy Reid in 2011. Do you remember the year 2011?
2011
was a dream team year. It is quite possibly the worst draft any NFL team has
ever
put
together.
Is this a Danny Watkins draft?
This is Danny Watkins, first round, Jaquan Jarrett, Curtis Marsh, Casey Matthews, Alex fucking Henry, the kicker in the fourth round.
Dude, that's like one of the better picks in that draft for the Eagles.
Fuck, Deion Lewis, fifth round, okay. Julian Vander Velde, who I believe started a couple games. Jason Kelsey, sixth, and a bunch of...
So he's the best pick out of that draft.
Obviously. Kelsey, but that draft was an absolute disaster.
I attribute that to Andy Reid a little bit more. But
Howie Roseman's first year.
Watkins pick, though, I know.
Yeah.
Just seems like such a...
It's an embarrassing pick, honestly. I'm glad that we've kind of strayed from that thought process. Like I have confidence in Joe Douglas. I have confidence in our scouts right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Conversely, you look back at Howie Roseman's first draft post Chip Kelly. I hated Howie Roseman up to the Super Bowl, but I hated him for trying to do too much during drafts, during trades, dream team. Just nobody could work with him. His first draft without Chip Kelly, let us review. First round, Carson Wentz. Win. Third round, they gave up some picks. Third round, Isaac Sumalu.
Pretty good
starter.
Pick.
Fifth round. Jumping, skipping rounds. Wendell Smallwood. Okay. Fifth round.
On the team, Super Bowl
borderline
player.
Yeah, borderline
player. He sucks. Smallwood's terrible.
Yeah, fifth round back.
You guys are gleaning up that back.
I think he has some other running backs pass potential.
It sucks.
Fifth round again.
Now you're keeping it real, John. He might suck.
Fifth round again. Big V. Bye tie.
That's a
very good.
It's a future pick. That's like that's a developmental guy.
Sixth round. Blake Countless. No idea. Seventh round.
No. Blake Countless starts for fucking.
We traded him.
Yeah, he started for the Rams all year.
Really?
We traded him on
at
draft.
Cornerback.
He was fucking Blake Countless was a good player.
Yeah, this was a trade. I think on draft night that we did.
All right, well, chalk that up to a good player. Seventh round.
We might have cut him or something.
Oh, that's right.
Whatever. Regardless, we
I'm trying to compliment Howie.
But he picked it. No, he picked a good player But he wound up on the Rams. Yeah, Blake Countess played for the Rams all year this year.
Seventh round, Jalen Mills, starter.
I mean, that's a great pick.
It's a great pick, seventh round. And seventh then round. Alec McAllister, no idea, and Joe Walker, who had a couple games here and there.
He's still on the roster. Dude, Joe Walker might be your linebacker. Like, he might wind up starting at linebacker.
I thought he was with the Broncos now for some reason.
Is he?
I think we did trade him.
Well, now I look like a fucking idiot.
Yeah, remember, we had Ellerby in there after him. Even I feel like in that Super Bowl run, it was Ellerby in there.
No, Joe Walker was hurt during the Super Bowl run because he was on the IR list.
That's what I meant.
And then I thought he came back Janelle. At some point.
He's with the Cardinals now. All right, with Jordan Hicks.
Well, I'm
what
a fucking idiot.
But great draft overall.
That was a strong draft overall.
No second or fourth round picks. Great drafts. And we'll run through the previous two drafts, 2017.
Well, even just to stay on this previous draft, like. I hate drafting offensive linemen just because it's not sexy. Obviously, it's tough to get excited about a player that it's hard to understand the tape on. And when they draft a guy like Big V late in a draft like this, it's almost like a weight off my shoulders because it's like, oh, we're looking after our offensive line, but it's later, so we still get to have these like sexy picks. You know what I mean? Like, we still get the allure of somebody in the first couple rounds who we can get really excited about while still kind of shoring up our offensive line with the Suamalos and the fucking Big V, the Vitais and everything after the fact.
See, I'm big on projects like that for offensive linemen, but I'm also big on signing or trading for veterans who've proven it, like a John Runyon, which we've done, like Jason Peters,
I like that.
Like
no,
a Barrett
sure.
Brooks.
I think almost everything works, though, because you're right, Belichick does this. He drafts guys later and develops them a little bit, but Andy Reid drafted them right up front. I mean, Sean Andrews, good pick. You know, I mean, I think you can have success everywhere with offensive linemen.
Well, good
linemen.
Pick for... Two
was.
Years before he,
he was before
went.
He had
got
mental
got
issues.
Fucking crazy.
Well, mental issues and OD.
But he had the talent. The talent was right for like that pick.
And I also think that there's something to be said about the point of diminishing returns in the first round, where like players stop being elite. You know, where you get to a point at like whatever pick like fucking 25 or fucking 36 or fucking 15, wherever it is, where there's like a precipitous drop off and like this is where the talented players stop. And I think that Belichick and all of them do a really good job of finding the players after that who might slip through the cracks. But I think that sometimes we were trying to get too cutesy. Not really lately, but like there have been times of yore when we would go for this Marcus Smith fucking pick or the Danny Watkins pick where we get cute rather than taking a player who you know is a fucking head and shoulders athlete above these other fucking blue chip type prospect. And that's really what I'm looking for in the first round, to get someone who's going to make our team way better
like
right away.
Gettleman, the Giants GM, was just yelling at them. I'm taking the right guy. I'm taking the best player.
How about this?
Screaming at him.
How about John Gruden and our boy Mike Mayock absolutely thinking there is a
mole.
Oh, not only a mole. They think they're it's the Cold War.
Paranoia out there, bro. They're in two legalized weed states, bro. I think that these guys have been having too many gummies with their fucking morning coffee, and they're fucking paranoid about their own scouts.
What a disaster zone. Three first-round picks, too. Three first-round picks, and these two are acting like the freaking Russians are wiretapping everything left and right.
I feel like Mayock just was like, it's my fucking way or the highway.
Probably.
Like, Mayock is just going to go off of his board. And I honestly trust him. I feel like even if he keeps all three of those picks, he's going to make three damn good picks and be damned the rest of the scouts. But it's got to hurt if you're a scout working your whole life and he's just like, no, go home. Like, this is the most important time of the year.
I can't wait to see who the Raiders draft. I just can't wait.
And also, Dan Snyder announcing today that he has taken over control of the Redskins' first round.
Praise be to God.
From who?
alter ego.
Yes, he is taking control from himself and giving it back to himself. The last time he did this, he traded up a couple first-round picks for Robert Griffin III. Actually worked out for one season. The next 10, not so much.
And then he also wound up with Kirk Cousins in that draft. So
that was a good pick. I mean, the whole strategy was similar to what we did. So I get it.
I'm wondering which inept fuckstick of a quarterback he's going to pick this year. Yeah. Do you think that he's going to wind up with
Daniel
a quarterback
Jones.
In the first round?
All of them. All the rounds are going to be quarterbacks.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. The double down worked last time moderately.
Are we going to take that backup from North Dakota? Or I guess to be our backup?
That would be interesting. I'm interested in him as a backup. I'm interested in the guy from Buffalo, Tyree Jackson, as a backup, too.
I'm interested in anyone from Dakotas. Carson Wentz, Dallas Goddard.
Exactly.
Not too shabby.
Dakota Fanning, bro. Bring them all in here, bro. I don't give a fuck.
Quick run through of the first year Joe Douglas when he had control of the draft with Howie Rosen. Derek Barnett, good. Sidney Jones, debatable, but still potential. Rasu Douglas, decent. Matt Collins, decent. I'm thinking it's going to be a decent year of Matt Collins, by the way.
I wholeheartedly believe that. I hope so as well. And I think that we're going to find out a lot about what the Eagles think Matt Collins' role is based on the draft. Are they going to draft a speedy receiver who's True. Like a deep threat to compete with him? Is he going to find out that he is camp competition? Or are they going to draft someone that's more in like the slot who could maybe take Aguilar's spot?
He's already got camp competition with Charles Johnson on the roster. I mean, it's just somebody, right?
Is that
no,
your guy?
But he draft another guy? And
yeah,
he's
no,
going to be looking
they
up.
Whip through people like that. And, you know, is Sheldon Gibson going to fucking learn how to catch a ball? He's
Very
fast.
True.
But
I at least trust Matt Collins to ride the bike to work and play special teams.
Exactly, and have Very a great well. Attitude and a lover
what
of snakes.
What happened with him last year, though? He missed like the whole year.
What was it, hernia?
His sports hernia.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, he hurt his
Miss
insides.
Matt Collins.
What he came to their Super Bowl party, though.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, there you go.
The Barstool Sports Super Bowl party. A rough and rowdy.
Yeah. What happened? We were at the urinal together after a rough and rowdy, and I didn't meet him beforehand because, quite honestly, I didn't recognize him. You
right.
were talking to him for a while.
Right.
And Caleb was just like, oh, that's Matt Collins. I was like, oh, no shit. Like, I did not know he had, like, dreads.
Right, yeah, he was sporting a different hairstyle.
Yeah. So I didn't get introduced to him or anything, but we saw each other downstairs at the urinal, and I just went up to him, just like, go Birds, and he's just like, yeah, I don't want. I was like, okay. Okay, he
amazing.
Just saw just a random Good patsy, interview. Which I am. Which
no,
I am.
Anyway, it's always go
it's
birds.
Just fine.
Yeah. It's always go Birds, whatever the weather.
You and the Philly athletes have some funny ones, some funny interactions.
Nah, what are you going to do? Can't win them all or any. Fourth round, 2017. This will be the last one we go over. Donald Pumphrey. I guess that was pretty much the only miss up until that point. Great Donald Pumphrey story. My favorite is when he was taking the role of Tariq Cohen for the practice squad leading up to the Bears last year, which is cute because they could have just fucking drafted Tariq Cohen instead of Donald Pumphrey.
Terrible. But I mean, I guess it, well, that's a, I mean, even when you bring up Tariq Cohen, I think that the Eagles will be looking for a running back in a Tariq Cohen type mold. I think you're looking for
Duke
someone
Johnson,
gonna,
baby.
Yeah, Duke Johnson can catch balls out of the backfield, or they might try and draft somebody who can do something similar. Who knows? Maybe David Montgomery out of Iowa State. Maybe the guy from Michigan who they had in for a pre-draft workout. There's a couple guys, a guy from like Memphis or something. Who knows?
Or you just bring Sproles back for another decade.
I'd rather they didn't. I'd rather they put him out to pasture.
Are you done on Sproles? You out on Sproles?
Yes, dude. I think that, I mean, he's not a dynamic running back. Like, he's not he's not going to he's nice to have around, but like, if you want to have three running backs, I think that you could do better with your three running backs. I think you could have three dudes better than Darius
Sproles. Josh Adams is hurt now.
I want it to be two. I mean, maybe Corey Clement stays, but we need at least one other running back, and I wouldn't be mad if we had two other running backs.
No. I mean, Jordan Howard, not the pass catcher that I assumed he was coming in. He only catches like 20 balls a year. You need someone to carry that.
Yeah, no, we definitely need
that.
That
would be
badly.
A small shock, actually, if Clement did not make the roster coming from his Super Bowl high point.
He probably
will.
If
he fell all the way down to not even making the roster 2 years
ago.
Who
knows, though?
But he's got a long hill, big hill to climb.
We'll find out. He's climbed it before, baby. Glassboro. Isn't that where he's from?
Is he? Probably.
Somewhere in Jersey. All right, we're going to wrap it up with a little bit of rapid fire. Roan, you got any? Do we have any voicemails?
Yeah, I got some rapid fire questions for you right here.
All
right.
Do a little rapid fire.
Provided that the 76ers beat the Raptors, who do you want to see in the round after that?
Bucks. I'm scared.
Jesus.
I'm scared shitless of the Celtics.
That simple?
Yes. I don't want it. I don't want it to happen, obviously, but I've had this dreadful feeling all year, no matter how shitty they looked, that the Celtics were coming out of the East. I just had that feeling.
The most likely to be back with the Sixers, if you could only pick one.
Who would you want to see?
Jimmy Butler or Tobias Harris.
Well, first of all, who would you want to see, Celtics or Bucks?
I want to see the Celtics, dude. I want redemption.
I want redemption,
dude. I
want
to go in there and I
want to
slap a fucking dick across their face, bro. Plus, I'm scared too, Smitty. I'm scared too, but I'm all right with being scared. I'm not scared to be scared, and I'm fucking terrified of them, but the only way to fucking confront your fears is to stand toe-to-toe with them and fucking mollywop those fears, and nothing will feel better, Smitty, than making the NBA Finals by beating the Boston Celtics. Fucking say it. Dude, even think about it. Beating the Boston Celtics to make the NBA Finals. It sounds beautiful. It sounds so pure. Nothing would give me more joy in this fucking world than to take down these schmucks.
I gotta tell you, my man. Obviously, I don't want it to happen, but I don't think it'd happen. I think Boston wins the series. I hate it. I hate myself. I hate myself for believing in that.
That's what they want you to think.
But
no one ever believed in us, Smitty.
I don't even believe in us, which is good. You don't want me believing in you.
Yeah, no, I guess that's true. But you've been the whisperer this year, so I mean, well.
Well, that's what scares me.
Yeah, that scares me too. It scares me too.
All right, Tobias Harris or Jimmy Butler?
Tobias Harris or Jimmy Butler? Who sticks around?
Who sticks around with a max contract for each?
Yeah, say that contracts are equal.
Jimmy's obviously the better player, playmaker. Tobias, younger. Probably fits the mold a little better, depending on who you get to replace Jimmy. I go Tobias.
I'm in the same boat as you, brother. I go Tobias as well. I think Tobias is going to age better. I think he's going to fit better. I think he'll grow with the team better. I think in a couple years you might not see Jimmy Butler being able to do the same thing.
Oh, he's 30.
And you're going to have guys like Zaire Smith.
What happened to you when you turned 30?
My fucking back
done.
Left my body, bro.
Snap, crackle,
it
pop.
It fucking just left me. It abandoned me. It's fucking devastating.
I love Jimmy Butler. I
want them both. I want them both, though. But the question was if you had to pick one or the other.
Yeah. The safe bet is Harris. It really is, especially with Jimmy's history with teams.
Yeah.
I hate bringing that up, but.
Hopefully you get some kind of friendly deal. But, I mean, if you just have to go shooters, who knows what happens. Keeping it up with the quick fire. If you had to guess right now,
quick hits.
How many All-Stars do the Phillies have this year, and who are those men?
Right now, or
you're predicting at All-Star break who's going to make the All-Star team?
Wow, Harper, because he'd get voted in no matter what. He'd be about 200, and he'll get
That's
voted
the
in.
Easiest one. That's a guarantee.
Pitching. I'm going through pitching. Like Nola's got to turn around. Velasquez, we'll see what he has this evening against the Mets. It's kind of a must-win game. Man, is it only Harper? Kutch is having a good year so far. Rare, not much.
What about Mikel Franco?
I was just going to say Franco.
Mikel Franco could get a spot at the eighth spot.
I think we're going to see three.
I don't think he'll be able to keep up his production. I'm trying to think of what other shortstops are in the NL, but
he'd have
a
to
big
come
one
back this week.
Yeah,
get going again.
Segura.
He's having a good start. I don't hate the Franco thought. Reese, I just think first base is too loaded.
He's
not
going to.
He did the home run derby.
That's right.
Last year, Reese is just going to have to belt 20 before the break to be able to make it. Yeah. Most likely.
I think that we're going to see three. I think that we're going to see. I think that we're going to see Franco make it. I think that his numbers are going to.
Oh, persist. JT will make it.
Oh yeah, as a catcher. Yeah that,
absolutely.
So I think that we're going to see one of the pitchers make it. I think that
who?
I think that Nola's going to.
He could
up
turn it around.
Turning
yeah.
Because Nola's he's a marquee starter, and once you have your marquee starter,
as long as he's under put four,
it, yeah, he's going to have to get the ERA
he's
down
turn
a little
it around
bit.
Like
yeah,
now,
right now.
No, like it, now.
I don't know how many starts
like
he has
yesterday
left.
Now.
And who is your all-time favorite late-round Eagles draft pick? A nostalgia name.
What is defined by late round? Sixth and
fourth,
seventh?
No. Fourth and later.
Fourth and
favorite?
Later. Trotter, one of them.
Okay.
I'm thinking old school.
I was
Hawkins
thinking more
was
nostalgia. I was thinking more like funny names, like Thomas Tepe. Running back Minnesota or like fucking Jeremy Bloom or something like that, bro.
Oh,
someone
bum should have taken a sister Molly, probably would have gotten more done.
Yeah, we might have, or at least have her in the front office, let her in on the analytics.
I always remember that one for cutting Jeremy Bloom, and then We had to field the punt in the opener when Reno Mahe fumbled.
Oh, yeah.
Picked
fucking
him up like a few days before, and it was like no plan.
Reno
fucking,
Mahe.
Fucking Jeremy Bloom.
Hank Basket. It's another one.
Hank Basket. Was
that's
he undrafted?
One.
Or did
he
we
might
draft
have been undrafted.
Him?
Oh, that was six I round.
He, was he?
Was he six round? Reno Mahe was undrafted. I know that. Yeah. I know Reno Mahe played wide receiver at BYU, and then they tried to transfer him to a running back just because Andy Reid probably was in debt to his family or some shit. Yeah, he was on the team
nobody,
for fucking 18 years.
Nobody has done more for the Mormon community than Andy Reid employing BYU players.
Right, yeah. Every third year, he's got fucking...
Well, if you're moving a guy who's 5'8 to running back, that's probably smart.
Reno Monahe was stealing paychecks for like 10 years from
right.
Those just to return one or two punts a year.
It's preposterous. He was always on the fucking roster. It was absolutely preposterous.
I think we talk about him every show.
Reno Mahe?
Yeah. Reno Mahe show.
We mention him every
what
show.
What is he doing right now? What is Reno Mahe doing
the
right
son
this
of a
second?
Bitch. Let's get him on the show.
I would love it.
Him and Jeff Thomason. Remember Jeff Thomason?
Jeff Thomason.
Jeff Thomason
yeah,
caught
yeah.
A fucking
yeah.
Touchdown.
Touchdown Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. It's backup long snapper.
Yeah. That's actually what made me think of it because Reno Mahe is probably selling
Mike
car
Bartram.
Insurance.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. That's a fucking name. We got to do the old tight ends exclusively.
Believe it.
All right. My computer just died, so I think that's a sign from the gods above.
Good. Game one, Saturday. People were complaining we didn't touch on the Flyers. Head coach. Yeah, sure.
Seems to be
AV.
Everybody's reaction is just kind of, well, yeah, retread. A little bit of a retread.
It's hard
he's
to get
been in
excited
New York,
right now.
Been in Vancouver.
I mean, he's like the most winning coach of all time that hasn't won at all.
Well,
so.
They'll make some moves in the
maybe
June draft.
Maybe he's like
hopefully.
Frank Kona for us. Maybe he's like when Frank Kona went to fucking Boston. You know? Someone that didn't win anywhere.
Who just got an extension, I believe, with
there
the
you
Indians.
Go.
There you go. Huge.
Believe
huge.
It or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody had a long Flyers question. What do you think about your and Roan's take on the Flyers' top priorities this offseason? How to balance adding top talent additions without taking space from top prospects, Frost, Radcliffe. Also, what D-man do you target? Theodore Myers, Trouba? Do we give up on Ghost? Do we honor an offer sheet? Do we bring back Lappy and Knobloch? Here's my answer. Get the fucking mayor of Wildwood Boardwalk to shut the fuck up about trying to bring back Kate Smith's God Bless America for the boardwalk.
Yeah,
like, he's got to relax.
Is it the Wildwood mayor's beating the drum?
Oh, yeah.
Yikes, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Who
like
knew
not
that
the
Wildwood
hill
was
the
racist? That's shocking.
Well, that's why I wrote in my blog. It's kind of like just when you think Wildwood didn't have anything left to surprise you.
Yeah, right. They pull out all the stops. Good for them, man. Be
good
who you are, Wildwood, you fucking scumbags.
And there you go. Well, now you're going to have to fight someone there.
it was going to happen anyway, man. It wasn't my choice one way or the other.
Agreed. That's it. Wrap it up.